南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Ah, hello friends, it's so good to see you again. Thank you for your practice, and for your study, your diligence, your courage, let's face it. The things happening in the world today. It's useless to try to make sense of them. All we can do is witness, as Shakyamuni said, avarice, tremendous greed drives everything. Anger, and understand anger in Buddhist terms is, really should come up for with a different word for that realm. It's a world, a realm of some. It's a human sickness of competition, of I want the exact same, you know, hey, mom, I want the same piece of pie as Johnny has, but I want mine to be bigger. But they'll be the same, but mine will be bigger. This infantile one-upsmanship that makes people backstab, manipulate, you know, all of those ugly features of really, really reptilian kind of thinking, and I'm sorry, reptiles, you're beautiful creatures, but you know what I'm saying. It's, it hurts my heart. And as usual, they're the most prominent. I have to believe that there are more good people, good sons and daughters of the Tathagata, yes? Then there are those ugly, stupid, manipulative, greedy. And we all know about them, but that's because we talk about them the most. They talk about them the most. The media talks about them. For some reason, we're attracted to, or enough people are attracted to, that car crash of inhumanity, that it drives the capitalist media machine, yes? Meanwhile, like the piranha cow, it takes our eyes off the prize. So here we are, you and I, talking about the prize and keeping our own eye upon it. Can we inspire those around us to do the same? Can we be the example in our own environs, which is a reflection of us, to move into this direction of dignity and respect for self and other? So much so that we begin to affect that tidal wave, that tsunami of stupidity, sectarianism, one-upsmanship. Oh, we're not causing a war. Bomb those guys. It's not our fault. They're your guns, they're your missiles, they're your stupidity. Oh, I could just rant and rant for hours. But it's not good for my heart. Nor is it good for yours. And we're in chapter 20 of the Lotus Sutra. And if chapter 20 has any overarching message, it's to be tenacious for dignity and respect, to be perseverant, to stay the course. I'm avoiding the word tolerance because in our day and age, tolerance has this dimension. It's grown over time, I think. I don't think it was meant this way at first, but tolerance today seems to be that we sit back and wait for the stupidity to play itself out. But I think by this time in the history of man, we can see that the only way stupidity plays its way out is to exterminate the species, if not the planet. I kind of think the planet will not give two shits about the pestilence of man. I'm not saying man is a pestilence. I'm saying there's a component of man. And you know I mean mankind, right, ladies? That truly is a pestilence. Right? Are you listening, one percenters? The elite bubble? So we're talking about Bodhisattva never despising. Or never disparaging would be a better title, I think. And so Shakyamuni's been talking about this. And now he's about to enter his phase of verse portion, right? Gathas. In the past, there was a Buddha-styled king of majestic voice, boundless in transcendent wisdom, leader of all creatures. This, to me, this statement isn't about a person. Remember, Buddhism is about the mind, attitude and intent. And we have a sickness in the world today, and it all has to do with attitude and intent, yes? But that's not our foundational component, nor is it the foundational component of the entire cosmos. Unfathomably huge and complex as it is, the entire potential of this cosmos for our human experience, our sentient mind experience, excels in its expression, its amazement, its voluminous capacities. Yeah? And you and I, sentient beings, are those who can witness it. Other creatures witness it as well. We have an ego to go along with it that gives us the idea that we can manipulate it at will and do whatever we want. Well, we can manipulate it, but that doesn't mean that all manipulation is respectful, inspires dignity. This, as Buddhists, is our only goal. And it starts with our own experience of life. If we have any hope of influencing the world toward this goal, it comes through our influence, one-on-one, right? We can change electoral elections and policy and all of that, but those are all just confetti. They're not the party. The humans have to change. The humans have to seek betterment, dignity, respect. And I don't mean dignity through having the bigger half of the piece of cake. That's the illusion, the delusion of samsara in that wonderful little analogy that if you ever grew up with a brother or sister, you had to have experienced. Universal realms of influence, men, dragons, spirits, all paid homage to him. Dragons, spirits? No, those aren't real things. They are aspects of mind. And all sentience had to pay respect to the highest goals of human expression, experience. Potential. We're all expressions of potential. Potential doesn't judge good or bad, but we, as experiencers, witnesses, we can decide on better versus not so much better, right? Life affirming, life unaffirming. Let's keep the life thing going. That's amazing, right? Stuff that runs counter to life, we won't negate it, but we'll minimize it, yes? Because negation, as I've discussed many times before, is just validation. So let's not give it that kind of power. After this Buddha's extinction, when the law drew near its end, there existed a bodhisattva whose name was never despising. Now we're talking about a Buddha, not Tathagata. So Buddha is earthbound, right? It's a Saha world bound. Tathagata is the cosmos. It's life. It's the engine of life. And if you're not familiar with that term, download a copy, an ebook of Buddhism Reference. I really recommend all of you have at least an e-copy, if not a book copy, of Buddhism Reference, because it will give you all of the definition of terms that are relevant to our modern Nichiren doctrine practice. You'll notice as you study Buddhism that many terms change in meaning over time. And that's the nature of the 50 years of Shakyamuni's teachings, right? Early on, he had to break things down in a way that those people who'd never even heard of Buddha, right, or Buddha-ness, this was a very foreign concept to them. Shakyamuni totally altered the meaning of the word karma radically, so much so that he created a lot of enemies in the ruling class because they like to control that thing called karma. And Shakyamuni came out and said, no, karma is of your making. You can do whatever you want with it. It's up to you. And people went, what? Very revolutionary thought that people would be in control of their own destiny. There's that word. It's all momentum. We're all moving through time and space. Nothing is static. Nothing stands still. But we're not affected by some woo-woo-woo up in the air. We're the woo-woo-woo. This is the whole core of Buddhism, yes? At that time, the four groups were devoted to material things. So what he said in these first few stanzas is, the nature of the universe is expression of potential in an amazing fashion. But when samsara, the sentient mind, creeps in to attach to things, now things become material rather than just expressing moment to moment and changing constantly. No, all of a sudden samsara puts the brakes on and no, this is and it's mine. And we start to identify a version of self that is also static. But come on, how many times do you have to look in the mirror to discover that you're not static at all? The Bodhisattva, never despising, on approaching them, would address them thus. I may not despise you. What an odd greeting, right? I'm sure it sounded differently. But again, we're talking about the mind, right? So how many times have you encountered somebody you don't even know and made judgments right away? So it's more like that. I may not despise you. You are followers of the way. So right away, we know we're talking to other Buddhists. And we'll all become Buddhas. Because if you're a follower of the way, eventually you're going to get to express your life as Buddha-ness. Yes? I mean, that's the foundation of the entire cosmos. When they had heard it, they made light of him and cursed him. Why? If somebody came up to you and said, your future is amazing, how much would you have to be doubtful about your own idea of you to then take that as an insult, an affront, and belittle that person? What do you know? Right? Knee-jerk reaction, especially if you're a Buddhist. And yet, he's describing an attitude that's pervasive in society, even amongst Buddhists, yes? Or those who call themselves Buddhists but are pursuing lesser vehicles or, you know, ancient teachings that are no longer relevant, right? They have a bone to pick. Bodhisattva, never despising, bore it all patiently. When his errors or delusions were expiated and his end was drawing near, he heard this sutra and his organs were clarified. So he's saying Bodhisattva Never Despising wasn't a perfect being. He was, like you and I, working the Bodhisattva path and had seized on something about himself that he needed to focus on in his daily life to expiate his own repercussions of karma. That was his role. By his transcendent power, he prolonged his period of life and again, to all the people, widely taught this sutra. Now, I'll share something personal with you just really quickly. I have several ailments. They're not unusual. Many people have them. There have been many events in my life that, and you may have had events like this as well, guns pointed in my face, things, and I'm not being overly dramatic, the things that could have easily, that were meant to end my life. And somehow, weirdly, without explanation, they disappeared, really. And here I am. And I've often said, whether it was guns in my face or very dangerous surgeries, whatever, the only thing I could identify, and you kind of look for some reason, right? Certainly couldn't be me. Yet, it was my practice. It was the only thing I could see that it must be my continuous practice that's somehow keeping me, I'm not done yet. There's something yet I need to do, or I easily would not be here. And when I read things like, when his errors or delusions were expiated and his end was drawing near, he heard this sutra and his organs were clarified. By his transcendent power, he prolonged his period of life and again to all the people widely taught this sutra. I kind of read that personally. Is there a way you can take this personally? Because I think it's kind of essential that you take these teachings personally. Find a way to do that. It's a really, really profound way to get rid of those nagging little doubts or, you know, one-upsmanships. And just settle in and go, Namo Myoho Rengekyo. Yeah. The groups formerly devoted to things, materialism, all received from this bodhisattva instruction and perfection, being led to abide in the way. So as I've said before, he inspired others to aspire to Buddhahood. Much easier to inspire others to aspire to Buddhahood when you yourself are in the process of doing the same, yeah? Never despising, his lifetime ending, met with countless Buddhas, and through his teaching of this sutra, obtained inestimable happiness. So, countless Buddhas. Did he meet a bunch of people floating around on lotus flowers? Of course not. He met other sentient minds, all sentient minds, as he himself was saying, have Buddha potential, have innate, inherent, built-in Buddha, simply needing to be expressed, awakened, enlightened, whatever you want to call it. But it's beneath the very cells of which we are constructed material. Gradually perfecting his merits, he soon accomplished the Buddha way, The never despising of that time is really I myself. Whew, mic drop. He's really talking about the 6 or 12 years, depending on who you read, that he spent studying from all of the most enlightened, quote unquote, teachers he could find, ultimately himself, he himself, on his own journey, discovering the truth of Buddha. The four groups of that time attached to earthly things who heard Never Despising say, you are destined to become Buddhas, because you all are, and who because of this met with countless Buddhas. Didn't he just say what I've been explaining? Are the bodhisattvas of this assembly, all of us. The host of 500 and also the four sections of pure acceptance, men and women who are now before me listening to the law. All of you are like this bodhisattva, never despise. As I, Shakyamuni, am, you too have this potential. I'm telling you to do it. I'm giving you permission. Like, it's annoying that, why do we need permission? Just do it, right? In my former lives, exhorted these people to hear and receive this sutra, the peerless law, and revealed and taught it to men and women that they might abide in nirvana. Age by age have I received and kept this so wonderful sutra. During myriads of kodas and kodas of kalpas, of inconceivable reach, rare are the times that have heard this Law Flower Dharma Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo. During myriads of kodas and kodas of kalpas of inconceivable reach, Buddhas, world-honored ones, at rare times teach this sutra. Therefore, let his followers, after the Buddha's extinction, on hearing such a sutra as this, not conceive doubt or perplexity, but let them wholeheartedly publish abroad this sutra, and age by age, meeting Buddhas, they will speedily accomplish the Buddha way. Now, if you wanted a good chapter to refer to for world peace, or Kozan Rufu, this would be found a good one, right? Because it starts with your own mind. And having established that, the next chapter, 21, is the transcendent power of the Tathagata. And so, the lotus, as you may have noticed, has taken another shift. We are now being told explicitly, not only how to do it, what to expect from doing it, but what's our goal? What's our driving comportment to achieve this worldwide aspiration for Buddha-ness? What kind of a world would we live in? And I have to believe, conversely, this seems to be a truth in science and philosophy, and wherever you look, that the more you push toward a clarity and perfection and completeness, the obstacles seem to get louder and louder, like they know that they're being extinguished. Well, look at our age today. Nitrin certainly did. And Nitrin saw this in Japan, and we can see it worldwide. The world is our Japan for Nitrin, yeah? We're popping some mighty big pimples. And before that pimple can heal, it must be expressed. We're doing it. Please have confidence in that. Just keep your confidence high. Keep your practice strong. Support this sangha. Even if all you can do right now is like and subscribe, it's free, it takes seconds. It's helpful to grow the sangha. It's a bodhisattva act. Those of you who are buying ebooks and or print books or mandalas helps us much more. Patrons, Patreon, PayPal, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Whatever you can do. It just supports our getting this resource out to more people. That's all I'm concerned about. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for what everything that you've done in your practice and in our sangha. Thank you for comments, emails. Thank you for your practice. All right? Keep it strong. And in order to do that, you got to take care of your health, right? So be safe, be healthy, keep your practice strong. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.